No, went back to school, and then war broke out. Remember, we were friendly enemy aliens due to religious persecution. This was our standard. But the minute the war broke out, the police came, you know, there was a curfew. I had to be in by 10:30, being an alien, being an enemy alien. The police came to the door, but there was no problem. We weren't hounded. I mean, people were friendly. Only certain things you had to do. I went back to school for 2 days. Then we were evacuated. Okay. From station in Victoria Road, Queen's Park Station, I was evacuated to Perthshire, a little place called Guildtown, well, near Guildtown, on a farm. I was very lucky. On a farm, they had 2 children, a big farm, 600 acres, with a tractor, horses, a bothy. So I learned to speak Scots, you know, Tories and stuff like that. We went, we did potato picking, obviously, and we worked quite a bit on the farm, which was great. I mean, there was no shortage of food. We had cream. I mean, it was a farm after all. There were tinned peaches, I mean, and there were pheasants. It was absolutely wonderful. And I went to the local village school in Guildtown. And then I was transferred to Perth, to the bigger school, Perth Academy. Perth Academy did not accept me. My English wasn't good enough, okay? So I was sent to a junior secondary school, Balhousie Boys School, Perth. Now, I tell you all that because you're young. These things stay with you. Now, I'm quite glad Perth Academy didn't accept me. Balhousie Boys School, the headmaster, Mr. Bothwick, I mean, I remember all this. I've got good recall in these things. He was very kind to me. And, I mean, I was the only foreign boy there in Perth, opposite the Black Watch barracks. What got me there, I was there for till December. I was there about 3 months. What they did one Shakespeare play, Macbeth. Now, that, funnily enough, I got to grips with that. I can still quote you whole passages of Macbeth to this day. And they were very kind. Certain exams, I could sit in German and somebody would translate it into English. And I got a leaving certificate eventually. I got fairly good marks, only being there after a few months. We were transferred from that farm eventually. We were transferred to the other side of Perth, a place called Forgandenny, a village by the name of Forgandenny, near Bridge of Erne. A house of Colonel Sir James Hutchison, a country estate, was taken over by the Glasgow school system, and we were lodged there with 30 or 40 other children. There were other 2 Jewish children there. So we stayed in this Rossi house for Forgandenny. We took the train into school. We took the train into school. There was no problem. It was very nice. It was well catered for. It was a school from the West End. Going to school by bicycle. This was at the time of Dunkirk. So they had put roadblocks. I mean, you know, they put cement bollards over the road. The tank could have gone round this field. Didn't matter. In any case, roadblocks. So you had to show identification. I had an aliens book. So the little soldiers, they were looking for German spies. Here I come on my bicycle. There is written down nationality German. Well, that soldier, I can only tell you, he nearly wet his pants. I mean, he sent for the corporal sent for the sergeant, sent for the officer, he said, let the boy go to school. But I mean, it's quite, this remains in your memory, yes? So that it went on like that, no problem. I corresponded with my parents. That became the problem afterwards. And when I became 16, I should have registered. That was after Christmas, February. I forgot to register. And it became a protected area. You may not be aware of that. The whole of Great Britain, anything within 5 miles of the coast or certain parts of the country where they stored ammunition or had army barracks, were not allowed for enemy aliens of any kind to stay there. So I had to leave school, and I was sent home to Glasgow, back to Mrs. Harwich, because this became a protected area. You simply could not stay. Edinburgh was protected. You couldn't stay anywhere near the coast. So I came home to Glasgow, and it didn't last very long. that I have a different story. I was then arrested for corresponding with the enemy. May I explain to you? I wrote to my mother and father when war broke out, of course, this postal service ceases completely. But I had uncles in Paris and in Belgium, and I wrote to my uncle in Belgium, Sally Würzburger, and he sent the letters to my mother, and like this it went. Obviously, censorship, the letters were censored. I was accused of corresponding with the enemy, which was, in wartime, you know, we're laughing now, it was a very serious offense. I've got, if the archives are in there, I've got all these letters, etc. here. In any case, I was told to come to a tribunal in Edinburgh. The committee arranged a lawyer for me. We went to Edinburgh. The lawyer was not allowed in. So I'm here. I'm 16 years of age. I'm standing in the High Court in Edinburgh. Sir James Strachan became Lord Strachan later, and two assessors who were well informed. They knew my uncle in Paris had changed addresses, so they were. I was amazed how well informed they were. I committed this offense, and I was found guilty of that offense. This was the problem. They didn't know what to do with me. You're underage. I wasn't handcuffed, thank God for that. I was taken from the court to Haymarket Station in Edinburgh. I was locked in a compartment to Queen Street, and at Queen Street, two detectives came on the train and opened the compartment, took me to Queen's Drive, to Mrs. Hedge. I was to pack a case. I had two phone calls. I was allowed two phone calls. And I was taken away. They were very kind. I mean, traumatic, yes. I mean, but you're 16. You've just got to cope with this. Traumatic it was, I grant you. But nevertheless, there was no ill treatment, no abuse or anything like that. The two detectives were very, you know, they've got a kid there. What are they to do? Got to St. Andrew's Square police station, which in these days was. The sergeant said, can I take him? Nay, laddie under 17 is allowed in a cell. Very civilized country, Scotland. So they didn't know what to do with me. They sent me to a remand home in St. Vincent Street. Now, a remand home which contained young children from other remand homes which had to appear in court the next day. Right? So I got to this remand home. I must have been the oldest. I mean, I'm talking about 12-year-old. The first thing he said, what did you do? Well, I didn't do nothing, you see. So I ended up at the bottom of the pile. And the commander, the chairman, the manager of this remand home, he was very kind, but very naive. He was very naive, and I knew better. You know, in these days, we all smoked. You smoked. You weren't allowed cigarettes. He said, you must leave the cigarettes in my office, and if you want to smoke, come to my office. Now, I knew better. I mean, you're in amongst the lot. You don't go to the manager's office for a smoke. You would have been absolutely. I knew better than that. I was there for 3 days, and then they decided they had to take me. They took me to Maryhill Barracks, which doesn't exist anymore. Maryhill Barracks in Maryhill, in Maryhill Road. I was put in an underground bunker with 20, well, I can't say German soldiers, German merchant seamen. I don't know if you know or remember, there was the Icelandic blockade. The British Navy would not let any foreign ships come, civilian ships, to supply Germany. So when they captured the ship, they interned the crew. So these were German merchant seamen who I was interned with in Maryhill Barracks for at least 3 weeks, which wasn't pleasant, I can tell you. Some were very anti. One or two were quite kind. We were there for several weeks, and then we were transferred to Donaldson School in Edinburgh. You know, that deaf and dumb school? That became our internment camp, where we were interned there for quite a while. I'm now going back to the internment camp in Edinburgh. I remember the commandant of that camp. Well, camp, it was Donaldson School. There were only these 20 German merchant seamen and myself. And he said, is there anybody here that can cook? Well, I learned, you know, if any volunteer for something, if you're in a prison camp, it always helps you. I said, yes. Well, I was put in charge of the kitchen. But I had these German sailors, my kitchen staff. One called me a dirty Jew, and another one knocked him out or whatever. In any case, the commandant said to me, you have to prepare a meal for 200 people arriving within the next 72 hours, because by then general internment of friendly enemy aliens was decreed in the cabinet. Nothing has changed. The tabloid press, the Express, particularly the Daily Mail, you know, intern them, they're enemy aliens. And Churchill got fed up and he said, call it a lot. He banged the table in cabinet. And we ended up eventually on the Isle of Man. So I came from there to various other camps. It was very traumatic, but you learn a lot. Eventually I spent 10 months in internment in the Isle of Man. Ended up in the Isle of Man, where we were very well treated. But it was a high-powered learning curve for a young boy. I mean, I must have been amongst one of the youngest. Most people were, in their mid-40s or whatnot, yeah? A lot of academics, a lot of music, the Amadeus Quartet, Lord Weidenfeld. I mean, all the winners of prizes, of Nobel prizes, of prestigious prizes, the Rudolf Piles, the atomic people, this was a high-powered learning curve. I remember these men playing chess. You know, they had wives and children, sure. Playing chess with a back to the table, were allowed 5 seconds for a move to call out the square. So this is the kind of place it was. The problem was, I got a new roommate, and he tried to get me drunk a few times. He said he was an officer, a German army officer, working for the British Aluminium Company in Fort William, which was quite true. He was an MI5 man. His German was perfect, his English was perfect, fantastic. So he pumped me for information, yeah? I didn't have any information. I really think they did suspect me of writing these letters. You know, a child's letter can be used to communicate with the enemy quite simply. In any case, I was released during my stay in the camp. I was, again, before tribunals, and I became from enemy A, dangerous enemy alien, down to B, and then I became C. And when I became C, friendly enemy alien, the commandant said to me, he said, I'm sorry, you're under the age of internment, we have to send you home. Now, after 10 months internment, the worst thing was being sent home. You are given a ticket, and then you're in the open wild world. You've been with your group of people, absolutely. Mm-hmm. You know, be army or prison, doesn't matter. So here you go, you have to change trains in Preston, it was all, you manage, but it was quite frightening. Yes. Only 2 years ago, I say to myself, this story, did they really suspect me? Come on. So I wrote to my MP, I said, what can I do? He said, well, write to the National Archives. Well, lo and behold, it's all there. They sent me stuff which has to be secret for another 27 years. I said, do me a favor. But because I'm the inquirer and I'm the subject of the inquiry, they released all these things for me. And I've got all the correspondence from the National. I mean, when you think, 70 years later, it's all there and you can access it, yeah? Under the Freedom of Information Act. It's quite amazing.
Yes. And did that
explain? It explained. I can show you. I've got all these things. I think I might give them to the archives in Glasgow.
Yes. You can scan it, I think.
They can scan it, they can look at it. It's very interesting, all this correspondence.
What does that reveal about...
It didn't reveal anything. It said, one chief constable said the boy should not be left at freedom. He's a danger, he should be interned. And when they examined me again, he said, excuse me, the boy's of above average intelligence, and he should return to Mrs. Harwich in Glasgow. So you see how it changed over the period. It was very interesting.